You can feel free to give us a sentence or two about yourself.
Well, yeah, so my name is Anne Sheila Warito. I go by Sheila, which is my middle name. And, yeah. Oh. And I have no relationships to disclose. And so the title of my study is Use of Fees to Fund Local Public Health Services. And this was a project that I worked on while fulfilling the requirements of my master's degree, my MPH degree. And it focused on fees in Western Massachusetts. And I tried to determine if they were covering the costs of service provision. So historically, the government's role in public health has been with infectious disease control. And around the 19th century, when local health departments were formed, the focus was to improve sanitation and reduce sort of the poverty that causes communicable diseases. And over time, with increasing knowledge and scientific advances, that has changed and evolved, and responsibilities for health departments have become huge. And so there was this landmark study by the Institute of Medicine that described three core functions of public health, and then that branched out into essential health services. And so now essential health services are provided directly to the community through local health departments. And in most states, they have a county-level structure, which means a local health department is responsible for the health of a county. But in more recently, with economic crisis, the local health departments have been impacted in terms of their capacity to provide the essential health services. One of the studies that I was reading was talking about how they've had to discontinue some services or losing staff. Massachusetts, like any other state, depends on local health departments to provide services, health services. But Massachusetts is a little unique because it has more local health departments than a lot of other states. And the reason is because there's no county-level structure for the most part, because of an absence in county government. So every city or town has its own local health department. And so as a result, it has more local health departments than any other state. And then the local health departments depend on municipal funding, which hasn't increased over the years. But as we know, responsibilities have continued to expand. The other thing is that in Massachusetts is that there's no direct state funding. Local health departments can apply for state funding, but sometimes that's population-based. Now, moving on to Western Massachusetts, which is where my study was focused on, Western Massachusetts has a large surface land area, and the population ranges from, you know, some towns have less than 100 people, and others have more than 150,000. So there are many towns in Western Massachusetts. A lot of them are small towns, and so they have smaller local health departments. And they have to deal with this rising costs and limited resources issue. My study objectives were to examine the fees charged for public health services and determine if the health departments were covering the expenses incurred. My study population was the 96 Western Massachusetts towns. I was able to obtain 59 fee schedules, and that's a response rate of about 61%. My data sources were a capacity assessment of Western Massachusetts local health departments. So this was a small section of a larger capacity assessment that was going on, and some of the information that I used had come from that study. And then I also used the town's official websites to get some of the fee schedules and the Department of Public Health website for some of the information that I used. I mostly used Microsoft Excel for my analysis. I identified different types of services for which towns charged fees and made summary tables for the ranges of fees. And I also tried to calculate the expense of providing the service. So this is an estimation. That's the little formula that I used right there. I talked to people, well, experts, trying to get a sense of what, you know, how many hours a typical service will take. So, for example, if a housing inspection takes 1 hour, and then maybe the health agent goes back to the office and does paperwork, you know, for 30 minutes, you know, I would add that together and then multiply that by how much the health agent gets paid per hour. I also calculated fee gaps, which is the difference between the town's current fee and the expense of providing the service. So a positive fee gap would mean that the town was covering the expenses of providing the service, and a negative fee gap would mean that they were not covering. So, for example, if I calculated that the expense of providing the service was $70 and the town was charging $50, then there's a negative difference. So it means that they're not covering their fees, and the opposite for positive fee gaps. So some of the things I found for the little sample that I looked at, the minimum population was 750. Median was 3,258, and maximum was 53,876. So there was a bit of a range. Some were small towns, really small towns. Some were a little larger. This is one of the most interesting things I found, which is the variability in fees. So, for example, there were variabilities in the types of fees charged. One town would have a fee schedule with 3 fees. Another one would have up to 30 fees. There was also, you know, differences in the identification and the naming of fees. For example, a temporary toilet or a portable toilet would be called an Ecosan? In one of the fee schedules, another fee schedule would call it a chemical toilet, another one would call it porta potty, you know. So it was just, there was just a lot of, you know, which fee is this again? Oh, it's the same fee as the other one, okay. And then there were differences in the categorizations that determined pricing. For example, some towns would say, we just charge a food establishment fee for, you know, a license, $50. Others would say it will determine it by the number of seats. So if you have 250 seats or less. Some use the square footage. Others would use gross annual sales. So because of all this variability, it was hard to muddle through, and so I decided to focus on the most common services that were appearing in the fee schedules. This is just an example of a few of the fees that I looked at. for example, you know, retail food, only, you know, maybe 26 towns are charging, and maybe camps, there's 41 towns charging. And then if you look at the minimum, there's a town, for camps, there's a town charging $10, and there's another town charging $250. Or for catering, you know, or frozen dessert, you know, one town charges $5, another one charges $100. So there's just a lot of variability. These are some of the services for which I found the towns would not exceed their expenses, and so they weren't covering the expense that they were incurring. And then these are the ones that were that they were more likely to cover their expenses. Septic fees was very interesting because only about 10 towns were losing money. So septic fees, for some reason, is a moneymaker. And then also to, you know, just because of the variability, trying to explain some of it, I had obtained from the capacity assessment this sort of grouping of towns, large, small, medium. And I was just curious to see how the fee gaps looked when compared by size of town. And so what I found was that the medium and the small towns tend to have more negative fee gaps, which means they're not covering their expenses, and small towns are really losing money, and then large towns are probably more likely to cover their expenses. This is something interesting, and you know, it would be nice to find out why large towns are actually more likely to cover their expenses, especially because, you know, when you're applying for state funding, sometimes it's population-based, so, you know, they're in a better position to actually apply for funding and, you know, have a little more money than the small towns. So this was very interesting. Some of the limitations is that there was a lack of information for about 30-something other towns. And then the diversity in fee schedules was made it hard to look at all the fees and try to determine which is which. And also there were a few assumptions when calculating cost estimations. I mean, not every health agent does a housing inspection for 1 hour, you know. And then what happens if there's a violation, you know, how much of the time does that take up? So there are a lot of things that obviously did not go into the cost estimations. So it would be a bit of an underestimation. And then the strengths are that we used actual fees from fee schedules, and it was a fast, in-depth study of Western Massachusetts fees. The conclusions from the study are really that many towns in Western Massachusetts are not covering their expenses. It would be interesting to find out if that's going on in other states. Considerations other than costs, obviously, are being, you know, factored into setting fees by local health departments. And maybe towns are not seeing fees as a viable source of funding, especially to cover the, you know, services that they're providing. And I think that some of the interesting questions that come out of this study is, one, what accounts for the variability? I know that Massachusetts doesn't mandate or have some sort of standard guideline for setting the fees. So the towns are really left to consider whatever it is they want to consider when setting up the fees. The most interesting question is, should local health departments charge fees for all services or not? You know, there's the great argument that these are public health services and they're supposed to benefit the public, and so, you know, why charge for them? But we also have to consider, you know, in such a time with such limited resources, how does this affect the local health department, a capacity to provide essential health services? These are my references. And always holding the questions to the end.